Now, I'd like to invite our ushers to come forward, and they're going to hand out the inventories for this week. And again, if you're new, we started a series that's based on Romans 12. John read the first few verses before the offertory, but later on in verses 6 through 8, it lists seven what we call motivational gifts. And we looked at the first one last week, which is perceiver, or the prophetic gift, and we look at the server gift today. And if you did not get an envelope, or folder, there we go, I knew there's a word for this. If you didn't get one last week, or if you left yours here last week with a name on, you hopefully picked it up. We had it out there. But if you didn't get one, in a moment, one of our ushers will hand out one of these for you. It's got the perceiver one already in there. Anyone need... Okay, Pat's got some. Anyone else need a folder? Okay, there. Lorenzo and Mrs. Jesse.
I need one.
Oh, okay. And Ty, right up here. Ty?
I need
one. All right. All right, good. Now... once again, let me explain, probably do this every time, there is no right or wrong answer. These are simply your responses to your gut action reaction to each of these. Don't overanalyze them. But I'm going to give you 3 or 4 minutes here to fill out the server characteristics anywhere from 0, this is never true about me, to 5, oh, this is me all the time, to some gradient in between. And like I told you last week, even though I'd done this about 20 years ago, I'm doing it afresh this time, so I will be filling mine out as well. For those of you who, let me say this tactfully, are more towards your senior years, kind of who you are as a person, even though you may not be able to accomplish all that you used to do. Yeah. You know, one reason you know this is not a test, I call it an inventory, is because you can't cheat. You can't look on someone else's paper and say, oh, that's what they have, because that's not you. You can only answer for what's true for you. I can't look on Jeanette's because I know we're gifted differently. So that's a whole other story. But anyway, yeah, let you get about half more minute. Now, you can always finish this later, and if you're new, you can do the perceiver one later on your own time. In the end, you're going to have all seven, and you're going to see most cases one or maybe two spikes, higher areas that you're more gifted in. And like I said last week, you really won't be able to tell until you finish all seven where your spike may be. You may be higher this week in your total than last week and say, oh, I must be a server. But you haven't taken the others yet. Some of you already know kind of where you're wired. Or maybe as you go through it. I know some people last week, and I know who they are perceivers. And they knew that right up front. Well, our scripture today is from Luke chapter 10. It's a familiar story, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. So let's hear God's word as I read it. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, yeah, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. God's word to us. Friends, are you struggling with heartburn? Are you suffering from high blood pressure? Is your arthritis causing you to live downstairs in an upstairs world? Are you wondering where Pastor Nick is going with this? This is a church, not a doctor's office. Well, I'll tell you where I'm going with it. Jeanette and I were watching some program a while back on Hallmark Channel, and this advertisement came on for some drug. I don't remember what it was for. But it was kind of fascinating because the first half of the advertisement, high blood pressure, whatever the thing was of these happy-faced people whose lives had been transformed by taking this drug. Then the narrator switches, and the last half is about all the potential side effects of this drug. I mean, you may suffer drowsiness. You may suffer upset stomach. Your spleen may be relocated. Your gallbladder may spontaneously explode, you know, and on it. And it was half the advertisement. You may die. And at the end, I told Jeanette, I said, if I ever have that problem, I've just been convinced not to take that drug. And I thought, wow. But then I realized, now I'm assuming this, that they probably had to do that. They have to legally say, okay, here are some of the side effects. It was half the ad. I was amazed. Who would ever take the thing? Well, I bring that up because we're looking at how Jesus has uniquely wired us, each of us, in a certain gift mix. And the good news is, when we are with others in the body of Christ, there's a completion. We together work for the glory of God. But Jesus is working with imperfect vessels. And in every case, no matter what our gift mix, we have some corresponding side effects that we're vulnerable to. Side effects that can kind of take away from the effectiveness of the gift mix. And so as we come to this text, Martha is a classic server. She epitomizes the server motivation. And yet in this particular episode, we also see some side effects. We see the other side of the commercial, some of the problem areas. But notwithstanding, we find here in Martha a wonderful picture of a server. You notice in verse 38, she invites Jesus into her home. One of the statements on your server inventory is that servers tend to like to host. They like to have people come in their home and then kind of dote over them and treat them. Martha was like that. But the situation probably was a little more complex. Because note that it says here that as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, it is very likely that Martha knew they were coming and that she knew it was going to be a big group. Jesus, his disciples, and possibly, if you see the first few verses of Luke 8, there were some women that traveled with them. So we're talking a big party. And Martha probably had already done a lot of preparations, but as Jesus and the others came into her home, there was a lot of finishing work to do, and she's going about doing all that. Meanwhile, verse 39, Martha's sister Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking in all that he is sharing, probably about the kingdom of God. Now, my hunch, Mary didn't take these inventories, but my hunch is Mary is not a server. Or else she would be distracted also by, you know, thinking, oh, we got to have everything just right for Jesus. She's sitting there right at his feet. But Martha is distracted because she's a server. And she's thinking, why, we got to have everything just right for him, and I need help. This is a big party, and Mary is doing nothing. And so she comes to the Lord and says, you know, Jesus, can you please, you know, wake my sister up, you know, to be doing what she ought to be doing and helping out. Now, let's give Martha a little break here. There's something here that's consistent that most of us will struggle with. Whatever our gift mix, it will seem to us as this is the best way to follow Christ. So from Martha's perspective, the best way to honor the Lord is to be serving him, and Mary's not doing that. Whereas a perceiver, like we saw last week, is more apt to say the best way to honor the Lord is to be speaking the truth. You know, people need to hear it, even if they're not ready. Speak that truth. That's the best way. Each of the gift mix will think theirs is the way. How often, don't answer this out loud, do you find yourself praying, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously, Lord, can't you make so-and-so think more like the way I am thinking? Okay, now we do that, don't we? How come they don't see it my way? Well, Martha's just saying that to the Lord. So the Lord rebukes her, but it's a gentle rebuke. There's care in his voice. Martha, Martha, you are distracted about many things, but only one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the better part. Now, we want to see here, Jesus is not getting on her for serving. That wasn't the issue. It was misplaced priorities. Here it was, Jesus comes into the home, and here is a unique opportunity to hear from him, to be fed by him, and to have him pour his heart into them, and she's off distracted while Mary is saying, I'm taking advantage of this. Now, I want us to see something here that we may pass over, and so I think this is worth a tiny rabbit trail. Something remarkable here about Jesus, and it speaks right to us. He wants all of his followers, men, women, and children, to learn from him, to grow, to be transformed by him. In Jesus' day, women were not deemed worthy of instruction. But here Jesus is teaching Mary, giving her instruction. He is just smashing gender barriers because he wants all to her learn from him, men, women, and children. I saw an example of this yesterday at the Nepali worship service honoring Pastor Gopi and his wife's 25th anniversary, about the transforming work of Christ when we allow him to pour into us by his Holy Spirit and change our hearts, change our minds. The verse that John read here, Romans 12, by the renewing of your mind, no longer conformed to this world, we allow the Holy Spirit to renew us. Pastor Gopi, kind of towards the end of the service, he shared some words. He shared some wonderful things about his wife, but this is what stuck out. He grew up, and Nepal is a Hindu country, mostly Hindu. He grew up with a Hindu framework before he became a Christian. And he said, from that framework, wives were seen as servants. He even used the word slaves. You just tell them to do what they do, and you're supposed to do it. He said, after I came to Jesus Christ, and I began to realize what the Word of God said, he said, I realize my wife is my friend and my partner. Totally transformed him. How he looked at that relationship. How he looked at this woman God had gave him. That's the transforming work. And it's what the Lord wants to be doing in all of our lives as we put our faith in him and then attend to his word. Well, what was happening here is Mary is allowing this transformation to take place. But Martha is too distracted by that. Now, whether or not we are motivated as a server, and a lot of us here, there's usually quite a, of the seven motivational gifts, there's not an equal percentage. Just in God's ways, often there's a little higher percentage of servers than some of the others. And I think we need a lot of servers. But whether or not you're a server, a motivation gift is server or not, we live in a fast-paced culture that's demanding. And a lot of us, even if we're not servers, get distracted by all the cares of life, and we do not take time for those merry moments of sitting at the feet of Jesus. We need to have those times, like right now in corporate worship, where we allow through our singing and our testimony and the Word of God to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us of what the truth really is in Christ. We need those times in personal and in Bible studies with others, studying the Word of God. The issue here with Martha was not her serving. It was misplaced priorities. And when she did serve, she was serving with the wrong attitude because she was distracted. Galatians 5, that's one of the reflections readings you'll have this week, talks about serving one another in love. That is the response we are to have. Now, I think, and here's the good news, I think Martha took this to heart. Martha heard this loving rebuke from the Lord. Because we find in John chapter 11, which is this incredible story of Jesus bringing back to life Lazarus, who is the brother of Martha and Mary. In that chapter, we find Martha making some profound statements of faith in Christ. She has taken Mary moments in her life by the time we get to John 11. So she heard. Where do we see Martha as a server? Let me just point out a few of these things that we see on this inventory here. And number one, readily recognizes practical needs and is quick to meet those needs. There she is. She invites Jesus and she's right on it with wanting to meet the needs of a hungry guest. Number five, enjoy being a host or hostess. That's Martha. Number six, stay with the project until it was completed. Of course, this caused a little problem because the dinner preparations weren't quite completed. Get Mary to help me. She wants to get that done. Have that dinner ready. Number 12, tend to do more than they're asked to do. This wasn't just any meal. This was a meal for Jesus. She wanted to make it really special. And number 13, highest joy is in doing something to meet another person's needs. All right, for a server, there's great delight in being able to help someone out in a practical way. 17, tend to be perfectionist. You know, again, with Jesus, she wanted to make sure this meal is just right and needed Mary's help. Number 18 there, serving is viewed as of primary importance. It's a foundation of Christianity. Like I said, this is typical with many of our motivational gifts. We think this is the way we really follow Christ. But we see also that Martha had those side effects of her motivational gift. That's our human weakness, our sinful tendencies make us vulnerable no matter what our gifting is, and we need to understand this so the Holy Spirit can correct us and transform us. Look at the five potential problem areas. The first one, A, can be critical of others who do not detect and meet obvious needs. Martha, critical of her sister Mary. How come you're not doing the obvious things here? B, may neglect own family's needs by being too busy helping others. Sometimes servers are so committed to saying, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, all these practical things, that they get kind of lost in some of the primary of their own family. C, can become pushy or interfering in their own eagerness to help. Since that is how they are wired, even if practical needs is not the most important, maybe it's an emotional need, maybe it's a spiritual need, but they want to, this is how they want to push it. Practical needs. And D, can resist being served by others. I've seen this with servers. They are so geared to helping others, they have a hard time sometimes being helped. You know, if they're sick or if they're laid up in some way, it's hard for them to receive practical help for them because they're the givers in that area, not the receivers. They need grace to learn to receive as well. And then finally, E, can be easily hurt when unappreciated. Servers, by their gifting, need to be needed. They need to have a place to be helping others out. And if that's not appreciated, they can take offense. And we've talked before about how we're vulnerable to offense. And each of us in different ways, and we have to watch. Because God gives us grace to bear with others or to forgive others when we've been hurt. This is a vulnerable area for servers. But God gives grace, and we have an incredible model in Jesus. As we mentioned last week, Jesus models all of the motivational gifts in balance. And he never has the wrong attitude in serving. He serves in love. And probably the prime example of that is John chapter 13, where Jesus, shortly before his crucifixion, washes his disciples' dirty feet. And they were astounded. I mean, they understood status, and they understood Jesus is the one who's in charge. He's the master. And as he starts washing their feet, they're just kind of, what are you doing, Jesus? That's servant's work. Why are you washing our feet? But Jesus had already spoken to them, and they just hadn't grasped it yet. In Mark 10, verse 45, he said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And as he washed those disciples' feet, he was literally hours away from giving his life as a ransom, the greatest act of serving love ever, as he died on the cross in our place so that we can be forgiven and transformed. That is servant love that Jesus has given to each of us. And when we grasp that, then like we were saying earlier, that's when our hearts leap up to exalt God's name and His Word because of that great grace we have in Christ. Whether you're a server or not, as you look over your inventory, my guess is, like I said last week, you're going to have a few places that kind of stand out. You know, I'm not a server, but I had a couple of places that stood out. I could say, yeah, that is me. And I'm going to ask us now to take a few minutes of silent prayer in our heart again. And look over those areas where you are strong. If you're a server, you're going to have quite a few of those areas. And thank the Lord and ask the Spirit of God to use you to glorify God in those areas. You're strong there. But also, as you glance at the problems area, and maybe you've already sensed the Holy Spirit's conviction, if there's an area where you are having side effects that are not bringing glory to God, that's a time to confess and just lay that at the foot of the cross and ask the Holy Spirit to give grace for transformation. So let's take a few minutes and just personal, quiet prayer before the Lord over these matters. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have knit us together in a mother's womb wonderfully, complexly, and have wired us in particular ways. And then, like it says in Colossians 3, we are chosen by you, holy and loved. So our identity is firmly entrenched in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray, Lord, that being that our identity is in you, that you would free us from those side effects where we might take offense, where we might be twisted out of shape because others don't think and act like we do, because you have designed this in your unique, particular way, and we are safe with how you have made us. Thank you that as we go to the foot of the cross, as we confess these areas where we have fallen short and sinned, Lord, there's forgiveness by the blood of Christ. Thank you for that incredible act of serving love, Lord Jesus, when you gave your life as a ransom. And so we are cleansed. We are set free. We are brought back to our Father's loving arms. And we have the Holy Spirit transforming us after day. Thank you, Lord. And now, as we go forth, may you empower us by your Spirit to serve you. Whether or not our motivational gift is a server, we are to serve you with where and how you have wired us. We pray again for open doors for sharing our faith in Christ. May that happen even this week. Divine encounters with others, that we are able to share in word or deed the love of Christ with those around us. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your serving love to us. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.